All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide because, hey, balance is key. Have you ever thought about starting your real estate journey but second-guessed yourself because you felt like you didn't have the right background or the right resources? Well, today's guest shows that your starting point doesn't define where you finish.
That's right, Liz. Today, we are joined by Deba Douglas. She was a bus driver, an educator, and now owns over 30 properties. In today's episode, we're going to unpack her journey and understand how she was able to reshape her future so you can do the same.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andrea Segadelli. So Deba, you are a bus driver, an educator, and then now a real estate investor owning over 30 properties. You have a very inspiring journey, and we want to dissect that during this episode. Many women that are listening to our episode today are justifying not growing their real estate portfolio for lack of money, lack of funds, or lack of experience. What would you say to them?
Honestly, the first thing I would say to them is that it's not a lack of money. It's really a lack of knowledge. And if you have the time to scroll on Instagram, scroll on Facebook, you have a couple of minutes to, instead of scrolling, you could literally just be on Facebook, but go into Facebook investment groups in your area. And that's what I did. And instead of me just scrolling and kind of looking at what my friends were doing, I literally would scroll and find DFW investment groups because I'm in the Dallas area. And I would spend more time scrolling, reading, trying to figure out more information because real estate investing is like a whole different language. So you have to understand that language. And the best way to do it, I was just on Facebook. And the other thing I would say to women that, because I felt that same way, I felt that I was like, you know what, this is where I'm going to be. This is where my life is going to be. I just need to just kind of get content with it. But there's something inside of you that keeps wanting more. Tap into that inside that wants more, because I guarantee you it will lead you to the next path of where you need to go.
Oh, I love that. So when you were...
Deba is my type of people.
Yes.
Like, honey, if you have time to go on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, oh, honey, you have time to learn real estate. What is a list? Baby girl?
Baby girl.
Baby girl, you have it.
That's right. I love it. So as you were scrolling, right, not scrolling and looking at random pictures on Facebook, but actually getting connected to people, were you doing this when you were an educator? Tell us when you were doing that and then how you then transitioned to that first deal. We want to dive into that first deal as well.
Yes. Yeah, so I literally started just dabbling into real estate. It just happened. I was home for the summer. We had a couple weeks off as an assistant principal. I just happened to go into our office and read and found the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Literally, this was everything that was fueling inside of me, but I really didn't know how to articulate it until I read the book. And then I was like, oh, this is what I need to focus on. And so as I started reading the book, and I think what was really a light bulb that went off on my head was when it talks about liabilities and assets. And so here I am thinking, I made the right decision. I went to school. I got a degree. I got a great job with great benefits. I should have a lot of assets. Literally, I'm looking at that and I'm like, I have not one asset. Nothing. There's nothing on that list. So I immediately talked to my husband and I said, hey, I think we've been doing life a little bit wrong. We need to make some changes. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? Like, we have trips planned. We have things we're doing with these kids. And I'm like, no, like, we need to shut all that down. We need to stop going out to fine dining. We need to stop taking trips. We need to save our money so we can buy our first investment property. And he was like, okay, here we go. Bless him, because he kind of went on the journey with me, knowing that I was like, don't know if this is really going to work out. So he just went on the journey with me. We started saving our money. We started telling our friends and family, no, we can't do that. No, we can't do this. We're planning to do something with real estate investing. A lot of them laughed at us. A lot of them were like, okay, you know, real estate investing is only for the wealthy, blah, blah, blah. But it worked. And that's what kind of led us into diving in, was that book. And I remember for Christmas, I got everyone in my family, friends, that same book. And I wrote a little note in there, like, I hope this book inspires you like it inspired me. I guarantee you now they're probably going back reading that book like, oh my gosh, this stuff works.
This is how breaking the cycle looks like, literally. And same thing for Liz and I, that book was really a game changer, right? I am an immigrant. I didn't even know what real estate meant in English. We don't learn that in English school in Brazil. So none of the lingo I knew about. And it's funny, right? Because a few months ago, we were sitting down with Kim Kiyosaki in the Carolinas, having coffee with her, talking about different things that are happening in our lives, in our business, and how we are so aligned and support women growing. So you never know what's gonna happen. The reason why I'm saying this to all of you that are listening is that your background, where you're coming from, it doesn't really determine your future. So Deba, what are the skills that you had as a bus driver, as an educator, that you transferred to real estate?
Yes, I will say, the two main things that I transferred was my ability to multitask, my ability to kind of handle multiple things that are going on. And anyone that's listening, that's a mom, you can automatically know that you can be successful in anything with real estate. Because I'll be honest, we run circles around everyone else we work with because we're used to having high level stress, trying to get kids here, trying to get kids everywhere. The second thing I would say is just being able to push through adversity. Being an assistant principal every day, in and out, I'm having to deal with conflict with a parent, a teacher, a student, sometimes all three in the same room at the same exact time. So being able to deal with conflict resolution and at the same time being nice, curt, and covering people and taking care of people, because I still do that. It's still the same transition of people skills that I do now.
Yeah, there's so many. Well, conflict, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no conflict in real estate. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So what day are we talking about? Which conflict am I managing right now? So I really would love to dive into your first deal. So here you are, you're saving. How much did you save for your first deal? And then describe what the deal was. A single family? How did you find it? You know, break that down for us, especially on the finding it, as well as how much you saved for it.
Yeah. So my husband and I, we saved for about a year. And over the course of that year, we saved about $15,000. And again, to us, we didn't feel like that was enough because, again, we didn't really have a mentor. We didn't have anyone to guide us. So we were thinking we need more money. So we had bought a house years ago that we lived in, and there was a lot of equity in it. So we decided to go back to our bank and get a HELOC. So have another line of credit just in case we needed it. And so that was what led us to be able to have 25% down to put on our first property, which was a duplex. And we live in like the, you know, the Dallas area, suburb outside of Dallas, but we found our first property in Fort Worth, which is about another hour away from us. It was a good deal. We didn't know what we were doing again. So we went to our conventional lender. We said, hey, we want to buy a duplex. He's like, sure, as long as you have 25% down. We bought that property for $128,000. There were already tenants in place. The house, the duplex was not taken care of pretty good, to be honest. Like there was a lot of maintenance that was not taken care of when we purchased it. So we purchased it. And literally the day that we closed on it, we immediately started getting calls from the tenant saying, this is broken. This is broken. Who's coming
right?
to fix it?
New sheriff in town, right?
Well, we were like, real estate investing.
Literally. And I remember my husband and I both looked at each other like, what do we do now? Like, we don't even have any handymans. Like, we don't know what to do. So I immediately got back on my Facebook group and I started searching for property management companies. I interviewed a couple and I was like, you know what? Because we don't know everything about this process of being a landlord and we still have full-time jobs, I'm going to go ahead and hire a property management company where I can learn what I need to know as a landlord through them. And yes, we had to pay them a fee, but it was worth every penny that we paid because I learned so much. through that process. And that was our first deal. And we, I think at the end of the day, we were making maybe about $500 to $700 a month. And to us, that was like amazing because we didn't have to work for it. We did not have to work for it. And that was the first time that I really saw the power of real estate.
It's truly amazing what the first deal can do to our mindset, right? And for many, it propelled you to continue. And for others, it's a big lesson and they sunk in those lessons. They look at those mistakes and different things that they had to go through and like, that's not for me. Because if this is how a deal looks like moving forward, I don't want it, right? From your experience in your first deal, what are those lessons that you didn't know what you didn't know, but now you do?
The first lesson is I probably should have vetted more realtors. At that time, I just assumed all realtors were the same. They all went to the same schooling. They all know real estate investing, and they don't. I should have negotiated even more on some of the terms. We covered the survey. We covered the title policy, which I should have did a little bit. Even when we did the inspection, there were so many things that were done that needed to be repaired. And I didn't even ask for them to repair those items. So looking back on it, I probably should have been more vocal instead of just kind of going through the motions thinking this is just how it's always going to be. I should have asked more questions that I didn't know.
Yeah. And the negotiating, right? People always think you can negotiate price, which you can, but the terms are certainly part of the negotiation game. Andres always says it's a game. Of course they said that. Of course they did that, right? Because people are expecting it. So scaling then to 30 properties, right? I'm sure it wasn't just sequential, like bought my first deal. Yeah. Now I'm at 30.
So husband is having a freaking heart attack now.
Right, like seriously, what are you talking about?
I know for us, right, and not that everyone has the same journey, but it's sequential, right? The duplex turns into a 4-unit, turns into, for us, a 10-unit. And then it is actually very, step by step. It's not always like overnight. But, you know, talk about your marketing strategy. You said you did your first deal in Fort Worth. And just would love to learn, did you end up doing more there? Did you choose a different market? The reason why I'm asking this question to you is so many women who have one, two or three properties, I'll ask them, how did you choose the market? And they're like, I don't know. It was just close to home. And I think that's a very common answer. So how did you then make that choice on that second, third, fourth property? Did you get a little more refined on your market, or just tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. So a lot of it was close to home, but I was just following the numbers. If the numbers made sense, then I moved forward with it. And because we were still working full-time jobs, I needed to make sure that whoever I was entrusting to be the contractor, they could easily get over there. They could easily communicate to me what was going on. But really, I just followed the numbers. I made sure I took the emotions out of it. And if I had to drive 2 hours to get to that property, I would do whatever I needed to do because I was just following what my numbers were.
I want to do a quick plug in about Investor Plus for all of you that are listening to us right now. Many women are analyzing so many deals to find out that they are analyzing the deals on the wrong market. So Liz and I are very, very serious when we say that it is your duty to master the market. At Investor Plus, we have built an ebook called Market Master, where you are going to build the foundation that you need to make sure you are investing on the right market and you're able to scale out of state if you decide to. So check it out, Investor Plus. We have a link on our show notes. Join us today. All right, Deba. So when you are thinking about scaling and choosing the market, and implementing systems and process, dealing with more people, all the items that come with scaling. Tell me, what are the biggest mistakes that you have made during your scaling and growth process?
Oh, man, I don't think you have all day for all my mistakes. One of the biggest things that I still struggle with now is my capacity. I feel like I can do it all and I can do it by myself. The best thing I did was hire people on my team to support what I was doing. Because during this time that I'm scaling, I finally walked away from my job and I became a full-time realtor. And my goal was that if I become a realtor, I can get more access to seeing properties, getting off-market properties, really knowing the business and knowing more people in the business. So during the time I'm trying to invest, I'm also being a realtor at the same time. That is can be overwhelming at times. So I hired a transaction coordinator that helps me with all of my paperwork, that keeps me on track with my calendar, keeps me on track with everything that I need when it comes to paperwork. And then as we continue to grow with our portfolio, I started to hire another assistant that helps me manage all of our properties, because we got to the point that we felt that we could manage the properties better than the current property management company. And we said, you know what, we'll just take that in and we'll pay someone to help us with that. And that's what really has really just helped us scale, is me understanding I really have ambition to do this, but if I don't have people to help me execute it, then I have to say no to it at this time.
Yeah. And so much of it is financing. How are you going to pay these people? And so much, not just pay people to support you and help you, but also finance your deals. So the saving of the first down payment, you tapped your HELOC for that first deal. What were your other strategies to finance your deals? Do you own all those by yourself, or tell us a little more about how you financed everything?
Yeah. So as we started building up, again, we were listening to podcasts and we're like, how are people buying 5-10 properties in 1 year? Like, we just gave all our savings 25% down. How are we going to recoup this? So we started diving in and learning more about hard money lenders. And initially, we thought they were more like loan sharks, like they're going to come in the middle of the night and take your money if you don't pay on time. I mean, there's really a negative connotation with hard money lenders. But we took some time to meet with a couple of hard money lenders. At that time, I was starting to meet with other investors, and they were connecting me with hard money lenders that they've worked with that were trustworthy. And so that's what made us really scale, because in the beginning, we were using our own cash, using our own HELOC money from our equity. But we really scaled by using hard money lenders. And I found a great hard money lender that worked with us as we were growing, and they were able to adjust some of their terms as we continued to do more deals with them. And that was really the game changer for us.
I think for a lot of investors, especially the introverts that are listening, you get so busy listening to podcasts, joining different types of courses, but you are like in silo mode, trying to figure out everything by yourself. Sometimes you go to networking events and then you chit chat with a couple of people. But I wanted to bring it up here, Deba. What I'm hearing from you is that you intentionally build relationships as you were growing and start delegating that. So how building relationship has helped you scale your portfolio?
Relationships were everything for me. I am where I'm at because of the relationships that I built with so many people. Whenever I have a question, maybe it's something with the city, maybe it's something with plumbing, maybe it's just something with, okay, how do I create my next LLC for the business adventure that I'm going to tap into? It's just connecting to the people that I have helped and they've helped me. And it's a mutual benefit. And to be honest, before I got into real estate, I didn't think I really valued friendship like I do now, to be honest. I don't think I really understood what friendships can be and how you can grow and have business partners and scale and make money with other people. I really thought friendship was just, oh, we hang out sometimes. We really don't talk about much. We don't really do anything. So one thing I will definitely say to the viewers, who you are connected to matters. If you guys are meeting up and you're not talking about making money, you're not talking about building an empire, you're not talking about goals, you're not talking about being a better you, that's not the people you want to be around. Because honestly, you're going to get to the point where you're like, I don't even want to go hang out because it's boring. I'm not getting anything out of it. And I'm just being honest.
You're looking at your watch the whole time.
Seriously. And I will say, now the people that I'm around, they make me better. They make me to be stronger. They make me think differently. And I'm always finding ways to be a different person than I was yesterday. That not only does that change me, it changes everyone around me to keep growing.
I couldn't agree more. I think that you elevate each other as and it is part of the conversation. What's going on? We had a conversation about like state planning, for example, right? What? Okay, we're going to have some drinks and talk about estate planning. Yeah, we were talking about, if I die, we made jokes about certain things like, hey, listen, pull the plug, because I cannot stand 3 more days over there. So we make light of things on very important subjects. But at the same time, you know that you're building a reliable support system in order to grow. But there's always a but, Deba. You know what? There's always
a but.
Yes, but. Yes, but. All the women that are listening, depending on where they grew up and there's traditions, there is like this, oh, this is family, so I need to stick with them. And this is how we do things. Oh, that's how it's been done for generations and generations. And we're not telling anybody here to kick your family out to the curb, right? But what would you say to the women that are listening that are still hanging tight to that circle of women that she knows, Deba, she knows deep inside, she knows that those people are just holding her back from living her best life? What would you say to them?
I will literally say that was my story. I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of family that I was very connected with, that if I decided to step away and do something different, it was really going to be detriment to my family. It was going to be detriment to my friends. I did it anyways. And I did it with love. I did it with care. Whatever I could bring them with and bring them upon whatever I was doing, I would bring them. But if they were just kind of like, okay, I'm not ready, I wouldn't force them into it, because I'm going through a different world. I'm learning something different. It's scary for me just as much as it is them watching me do it. But I will tell you, because I kept doing it and I kept going and I kept being consistent with it, they now joined me. And now my family invests in real estate. My brother recently, he has over 14 rental properties because I did something different. So sometimes your obedience to yourself will open up doors and break generational curses to your people behind you, to your family, to your friends. We just need one trailblazer. And I guarantee you, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are the trailblazer.
Oh, I love that. When you were having these conversations with your family members, right? And it could be in a couple of different ways. One is like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And two, some of them could be draining your energy. How did you manage that? And how did you then share with what you're doing in a way that you weren't looking for advice, but you were sharing it so you can impact them, to your point? I think sometimes we avoid what we do with people who don't know, because I don't really want to be told this is not a good time to invest. I don't want to hear that from Uncle Joe, who has no rental properties, right? I have no,
is but I want Uncle to share. Uncle Joe is never, since 1976, haven't been good.
I do have a great Uncle Joe who I used to love, but who actually did invest in real estate. Sidebar. But my question and my point is that you want to share, and you want to kind of share what's coming up, because I want to see my sister-in-law or my family be impacted by generational wealth versus me having all this lovely content and information and not sharing it. I also don't want to be pulled down. So how did you navigate that dance with people in your world and elevate versus just keeping it to yourself?
Yeah. So with the naysayers, I would only talk to them at certain times during my day. So for example, early in the morning, that's when I'm like on fire. I'm ready to tap into a new project. I'm not going to talk to you in the morning because I don't need you to kind of throw any slight doubt into what I'm doing, because I'm already terrified. And the other thing, I would always be mindful of what I share with them, because honestly, they're more giving me advice based on the lens of their life and the financial situations that they're dealing with and the scrutiny that they're dealing with at work. It has nothing to do with me. So I would be more, you know, I would say just a little to just give them a little bit of insight, but I wouldn't go in depth, because I'm like, there's no growth that's going to come from that. They don't really understand it. So there's no point in me going on and on, because at some point they may take that as I'm bragging about all these things that I'm doing. And I, because we live in this great world of social media, posted on social media and I shared my journey on social media, they're seeing it. And if they really want to know more about it, they just call me. And when we meet up, they'll talk about it. So it's more, I just, based on what they gave me and what questions they asked me, is how much I would share.
You know, it's complicated. The other trick, Liz, is that you host the parties. So you invite whoever you want.
True.
You got it. No, just kidding. I think it's complicated when you're growing. You need to open space for new relationships. And we don't know what we don't know. I didn't know about HELOC. What is this? And I think that there's a lot that people just don't know. So when they don't know something, it's very scary and they're immediately against until they understand that this is not a scam. This is not, it's just another financial tool that was not taught in school. And we deserve to know. We deserve to share stories like yours to all the listeners so they can see and they can listen to what you did so they can do the same and start breaking those cycles as they go along. That's pretty much it. One thing that I am listening are you talking over and over again is that it didn't take you too long to delegate and that allow you to scale. Here's yes, but again, coming through. A lot of women listening have a really hard time delegating it because they have been this warrior throughout their lives and find out and figure out things by themselves. It had served them. Absolutely. No doubt about it. But now they have built a very successful business and are having a hard time delegating. What would you say to them as their next step to start shifting that mindset?
I think it's really thinking about your big goals. Like ultimately, why did you jump into real estate? What was that ultimate goal? And it wasn't to work. Let's be honest. It was not to work. It was to have freedom. It was to have freedom where I can walk my son to school every morning. I can go eat lunch with them. I can just be present. And so for me, whenever I do have that power struggle of, do I delegate this or, oh, it'll take me 5 minutes to just do this. Let me just do it. I'm not growing anybody else around me by just me taking it on and doing it. And I'm opening up more levels of freedom for me the more I delegate. And let's be honest, I'm not that great at everything. I may look like it, but I'm not. Trust me.
You look like it, Deborah. You look
totally
Deborah. You do.
Totally. You do. You got that vibe.
And so I've learned that I can put other people in the roles that they would love it. They would take it on and take ownership of it. And they would run circles around me. And I love that for them. And now I've created a space for them to flourish in what their strengths are.
I love that. And Deborah, I want to make a mention to something else that you said. And I want everyone to that's listening to hear this. You did something very interesting. You created a circle of people that were maybe a few steps ahead of you. And you also had people that were, I don't want to say a few steps behind in a bad way, but from a real estate investing perspective and from a financial perspective. And you played in both of those circles. And I think that's really important that if you're listening to this and you don't have a circle that is actually like has bigger goals than you do, right? That's not a few steps beyond you, then you're limiting your growth. And also then you have another circle of people that you may be supporting, mentoring, helping. Hey, this is how I did this. Both circles are important for growth and for a lot of different reasons. That's pretty much the reason, right? We've created InvestHer is that both are important. Both will not keep you where you are. And that's what we're so committed to for every woman listening, every man listening, that it's those, you know, one stretches you and one you're able to a hand out and a hand, you know, hand up, whatever that phrase is. So you did that very beautifully. And I think that's a really important lesson as we're scaling, because you're not going to know everything. You're just not. And you can't know everything. So kudos to you, Deborah. Where can everyone listening learn more about you and connect with you?
Yes, I'm on all the social media platforms. I spend a lot more of my time on Instagram. So you can follow me on Instagram at Deborah Flips Texas. Or you can go to my website, which is douglasdwellings.com. And yeah, and I'm this person that responds. I'm here and I would just love to connect and just learn more about everyone else's real estate strategies.
Deborah, thank you so much. All this information you guys can find on our show notes. Really appreciate you just sharing your story and your strategies, your way of being. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our InvestHer community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it.
And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.